You are listening to Wellness Wednesday, a show about health and wellness in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. This week, TWC's Peace Talk.
Hello, welcome to TWC's Peace Talk radio show. TWC's mission in the region is to provide safe, empowering services for families experiencing domestic violence or sexual violence. We seek to promote violence-free communities through culturally appropriate outreach programs and supportive services. The Peace Talk radio show is our opportunity to let the region know what work we are doing and answer questions if people have them. This is a call-in show, so please feel free to call these numbers for questions. So the call-in numbers for the radio show are 543-5985, 543-2756, or 1-800-995-8954. Again, they are 543-5985, 543-2756, and 1-800-995-8954. And if after the radio show people want to know more about TWCs and the services we offer, the TWC contact information is 543-3456 for our 24-hour crisis line. Our toll-free is 1-800-478-7799, and our business line is 543-3444. For our announcements, the thrift store is open Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday from 1 to 3. It's located at 576 Willow Street. This is a volunteer-run store, which means that if there are no volunteers for the day, the thrift store will not be open. So you should call the thrift store to make sure that it is open and that there is a volunteer. And that number is 543-3474. Donations are happily accepted at the thrift store, but please bring them to the thrift store or the bin outside of the store and not bring it to TWC. So the thrift store is always looking for reliable volunteers to keep the store open at a reliable pace. So if you're interested in volunteering, please call TWC's business line at 543-3444. We have open positions at TWC. If you're interested, you could check out our Facebook page or our website at www.tundrapeace.org. Please check it out if you're interested in being a part of our mission work. So, for the regular radio show, in the beginning of the month, we had our final meeting for our community needs assessment and talked a lot about the problems we have in our community. We identified problems such as substance abuse, lack of accountability for perpetrators of violence, and a lack of resources. This week, we're going to have a little bit lighter a topic because, it's the holidays and we just had Thanksgiving. So we would like to celebrate kind of our town and our area by sharing some of our knowledge and by sharing some of the things that we kind of really love about this area and our culture. To keep this conversational, instead of sharing what we're thankful for, we'd like to talk about some of the strengths in our community and how it builds resilience in our community. So I have Samantha here. Do you want to introduce yourself?
My name is Samantha Ipchuk. I am the Transitional Housing Coordinator. We're here to talk about resilience.
Yeah. And I'm Annie Mae Lee, and I'm the Outreach and Prevention Coordinator at TWC. So for the first question, so what is resilience to you?
I view it differently. I see it in a positive and a negative way. You can be at your bottom and you can bounce back from it. But I was wondering if maybe you could define resilience first for those who do not know what it means.
All right. Well, resilience doesn't really just have one meaning. Resilience looks different for everybody. But I'm going to define it in kind of a simple way. It's just like kind of what keeps you going. What keeps you grounded and kind of ready for the next day. it's kind of like really what keeps you, I don't know, sane in a way, and really helps you like mentally, maybe physically. It just really depends on how you want to build your resilience. And it looks different for everyone, but what keeps you going and what keeps you getting up in the morning? And, you know, the simplest things that people might not notice are resilience. But for me personally, resilience is kind of something that gives you a peace of mind. And it could be anything from cleaning, or we see it a lot here is like beading. People will say, you know, this is kind of my time. And oftentimes resilience factors aren't really like out there like, oh, here, come join our resilience factor. It gives you a sense of togetherness with other people, or it could give you a sense of purpose in your community or your family. It could really, again, like I said, just help with your peace of mind. So resilience, that's a really hard one. And that's why this question's phrased like, what is it to you?
Yeah, that's why, well, for me personally, the reason I ask is because the technical term for it is the capacity to recover quickly from difficulties, toughness, the often remarkable resilience of so many, you know, people have in their personal life. And so, or another way to look at it is the ability of a substance or object to spring back into shape. That's another definition. And so for me, what I was saying is I see it in a positive and negative way, because you can be at your rock bottom or whatever you want to call it, and you can bounce back from it because of the experiences you've dealt with, anything personal in your life, maybe going through a substance abuse addiction, or just anything, any form of things that you, that doesn't make you lead a positive, healthy lifestyle. And when you bounce back from that, your determination or your resiliency is more profound in your life. And so you use that in a positive way. Even if you fail at something and you keep doing it and doing it, you just keep trying. So your job is to just to keep bouncing back. And I really, really like using that word because, like Annie Mae said, you could use it in so many ways. And I use it a lot in my life personally every single day. That's why I say it's you know, good for positive and negative ways in your life. And we have someone here who just arrived.
Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Nelson Kinnick. Sorry, the roads are a little slippery, so but I'm here.
So we kind of started answering, but I'll just give you an opportunity to say it too. What is resilience to you?
Resilience to me is to be able to spring back from a difficulty that it's like for me that I'm encountering, like, getting to the cold, like just looking at the bright side of that is, one, there's sledding. Two, you can always warm up with hot cocoa. I went sledding with my siblings last night, actually, and it was a good experience, but I'm not, it's not as easy to climb up the hill like it used to be as a kid when you're, like, full of energy.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that I was, like, after 5 minutes, I was like, okay, can we go home now? And they're like, no.
But in the end, it's worth it.
Yeah, to be able to go home and, you know, spring back from that.
So it's like also just like the positive outlook in a way. Okay.
Positive attitude.
All right. Well, so what kind of activities or behaviors build resilience that you see around?
It depends on your situation or maybe your beliefs you have. I feel you need a strong mind and be open to criticism. You also need to take chances in what type of things you've done or maybe what hasn't helped you. also someone who is able to cope with stress and maybe their adversity they have gone through. And I personally like to breathe. That helps me cope with any type of situation I may be going through. And I also like to walk. I walk a lot, and I'd rather walk than take a cab, honestly. And I also encourage myself a lot, mentally, to try to, you know, to do better from the day before, or even to do better now. I also enjoy working with the clients I have at TWC. And I think that kind of helps me build more resilience in what I do. Because it is psychological and physical. It's everything in what you do, and it's just really hard to kind of pinpoint what really helps a person, because we are all so different.
I think for my part, what I see a lot, like kind of just all around this region, is that we have so many wonderful crafters. Like, they have people knitting, sewing furs, all these beautiful crafts people are making. And sometimes, you know, sometimes people will, they'll even tell me kind of what things that, like, you know, I need to knit today. It makes me feel better. That type of thing. So those are the type of things that I see all the time that build resilience.
All right.
Well, it looks like we have a caller, so hello.
Oh, good morning. Are you talking to me?
Yes, I'm talking to you.
Yes. Good morning. First of all, I want to say a very good morning to all the people that work at TWC. And in one way or another, for quite a number of years that I've been involved with what TWC does in volunteering in the past, and getting to talk to people there and playing with the children, doing things with the children, and talking to whoever is up. And like, when I'm upset about something, I can't sleep. So, like, I get up and read and crochet or sew or write. And I like the way that TWC personnel allows its clients to do that. And it takes very, very special people to be able to work at TWC, because, you know, domestic violence, sexual abuse is rampant within our region, and a lot of people keep trying to do something about it, and yet there are certain agencies and individuals who will deny its existence, like even Catholic priests will have forever abused young children, and they don't get to no justice ever gets done. However, I keep encouraging all my friends and relatives to keep bringing up these matters up, because even if we don't succeed within, say, a few months, a few years, if we keep bringing it up together, I always pray and cross my fingers that one day somebody would hear what you were saying and maybe things would improve a bit. So I applaud you in your work and people who volunteer there. So keep up your good work, and you have my prayers and my I applaud you very loudly.
Thank you for calling in, and we really love hearing from you. Thank you also for like the work you've done in the community and really paying attention and loving the community like you do. And about kind of what we talked about, you know, hoping that someone will like hear us, even though day to day, you know, you see things and it hurts you to see the community hurt. It's also really important to realize we've come a very long way. From what we used to be. And we can, like, we're going up from here. Thank you. And I'm really glad to hear kind of your worries for the community, because as long as people are thinking and having minds for the community, you know, that's the only way we can improve. So thank you.
I agree, especially just having an elder be present at TWC, it just brings an extra warmth and the knowledge they carry. And, you know, they try to instill in us so we can teach and talk to our clients. So it's nice to hear that from someone in the community that is a part of TWC. Even though I've just started, I've know or hear of what she has done, and I appreciate it. Thank you, Mary.
So we were talking about resilience, I believe. Where was I? Oh, yeah, we were at crafting. I also see some... Oh, so I guess we'll just have to go kind of back to what we were talking about. Resilience is built in different ways for everyone. And some people get a lot of resilience from structure. But I noticed that in this particular area, like, I mean, it's really hard not to see subsistence and see kind of the peace of mind that people get from being one with, like, the land and really going out there and being with, you know, other people who they love and or just enjoy being around and providing for their families. That's one big resilience factor. Because what are all the things that are connected to it? You have a connectedness to your culture. You feel a connectedness to your area. You feel a connectedness to your family. And then you feel able to provide. And, you know, that's a really big one that has so many resilience factors in it, even though it's a resilience activity. And not a lot of people, like, if you ask people, what do you do in your life that builds resilience? You know, it's a hard thing to define. But I feel that if I asked people and did give an explanation, so many here would say, you know, subsistence. I mean, do you guys see that too?
Yeah, I do. excuse me, especially now that you would call my age group is millennials. Yeah. So I think we are trying to kind of teach our children and then pass that on, and you hardly ever see that. And when I do see that in our community, it just makes me very happy. And so that I think that comes from resiliency, and I hope they continue to do that as well.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of millennials, I really like to say thank you, Samantha, because especially in this generation where it's constantly changing, it's a different culture from what it was from the generation before, and being able to lead and show an example for us in a way that's astonishing, because in a way, you're learning, too, at the same way to create a new path, especially for us as youth.
Actually, now that you guys bring up this point, it's really, this one's kind of not on our prepared questions list, but I just want to ask you guys. So, you know, we kind of spanned, like, what, like three different generations in this, like, in the time of, like, 20 years.
Yeah.
So what might resilience kind of look like for the different generations, and what kind of changes do you see? Because you have someone who works with, who is, I would say I'm an adult, but you're older than me, so I don't know, more adult than I am.
I actually don't feel, I mean, I may say like I'm, my number of my age, I feel like I'm old, but I am actually fairly young. And the people like my mother's age or that generation, I was taught by my grandparents. It's weird because as you get older in numbers and years, you see things differently. And then I have to kind of realize, because I have children, I need to start instilling those beliefs, values, teachings I've been taught. They may have not grew up in my hometown community until I was only 7, but I would go back home and I was, you know, taught those lessons, you know, every time I went back home. And I had great grandparents, family members, friends to help me and shape who I am. And also the struggles I've been through personally, the things I've dealt with. I think you kind of have to take what you have and then just learn from it. And like we say, bounce back, teach your children, teach your friends, encourage people, be positive, because we don't see a lot of that nowadays. We, you know, I remember just always waving at everybody, you know, saying hi, you know, just give a smile. And even in the store, you know, people are unhappy. And I just try to show that positiveness or positivity, even in the clients I work with, because I really like when they're happy, because I know we're all happy, but there's always something that we're going through. But we still put a smile on our face and we get out that door and we have to work. So that's what I try to teach my children, because I was taught that way. And that's building resiliency in your personal and in your children's life, I think. A good way for me to put it in my generation.
This is kind of, I'm going off on, for just a second though. I just want to say, like, I really did kind of, I don't know, one part like of that really, really resonated with me, just because like you have to get up and you have to work. And resilience doesn't always necessarily make you feel all mushy gushy, really nice and warm inside. It really is just enough, like, you know, I have to get up, I have the will to get up, and I got to work. I mean, for me, work is a really big resilience factor, because I'm always like, I don't like to take sick days or anything like that, because I like to work.
Having a good work ethic.
Yeah. And back to our question, I just wanted to go inside, because I never really, you know, resilience sometimes does, people put it out to be this warm, lovely feeling all the time that makes you feel like you're floating on air. But no, resilience is anything that really helps you keep going. And as for like the differences in the generations, is that we're kind of seeing this very, very, like with the ages, like we're seeing this really big awareness, kind of around teens, now that we're talking about different generation. Like, we're seeing people, and, you know, you can correct me and disagree with me, and that's fine. But, you know, we have different generations are taught different things. Mm-hmm. So, like, the generation before us was, it was all about learning from the old, right? And then now we're having this newer generation really trying to get onto new grounds, define themselves both in the Yupik and the Western culture. And we're seeing, you know, even though we have like a lot of complaints about, you know, these Gen Z millennial people, you know, we're seeing a lot of people really learning and starting to educate themselves and wanting to have a voice and wanting to be involved in a different way than we had before. And that is really adapting. So, for instance, it went from we're mentoring teens into we're teaching them to be adults, in the sense that they're going to have to make their own decisions, and these decisions are going to be hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that people, you know, weren't teaching that way. It's just that now it's like flat out in your face. They're saying it. You know, right now I'm preparing you to be an adult, where a lot of times you hear people say, well, you know, disagreeing, that seems disrespectful or anything like that. Well, adults disagree with things. And we're seeing these, you know, these young people really educating themselves and, you know, even on politics, we're seeing that this was like with social media, everything's just changing. Things are coming out in the open. And, you know, teens these days are working to kind of find their place and their purpose in a community. And that's really what resilience in our culture is about, is just having your place and knowing you're an important part of it. And I'm seeing we're seeing a rise in that. We did that community needs assessment, and then it turns out that, you know, people in this region, like the teens in this region, really say that they're valued and they're heard and that they're cherished by, you know, their community. And that's something that I really took away, that I'm like, this is a huge resilience factor, you know, to feel heard and to feel like you're involved.
Well, just hearing that, I hope the kids that, you know, stated that they feel valued, I hope they come out in our community and do it in a positive way, because it's good to see kids being active.
And I kind of want to say this thing about coming out and being active is that, you know, we have different views, like the Yupiks and the Western world. Like, for one, you know, people think that, you know, you have to stand out to start something. You have to stand out and be exceptionally good at maybe at school to organize an event or anything like that. But it's really simple. You just have to want to, you know, be heard and want to make a difference. And, you know, even, and I'm saying this in case, like, there's a young person who really, really feels encouraged to go but maybe has reservations, is that as a teen, I felt, you know, I wasn't the best student. I wasn't, I did consider myself smart, but I wasn't the best, you know, at anything really. But my involvement really helped me gain my confidence into kind of really bringing up my own points. And, you know, at first it felt really uncomfortable being around, like, adults and people who, you know, were older than me, obviously had more experience than me, with different views and a more technical view. But when I heard that they valued my opinion and valued my opinion as a young person, and really just were thinking of ways to adapt it into what they're doing as, like, very technical, experienced adults, you know, I realized you don't have to be the best at anything. You don't have to particularly stand out. You just have to be willing to share. And I think that that's, yeah, being involved. And again, that's another thing that helped my resilience, because we haven't said resilience enough during the show.
are those some of the factors we're talking about within our community?
Yeah,
because I wanted to talk about that one, since you were bringing up community involvement and kids' values and stuff like that. I think the question is, what are some of the resilient factors that are present in our community? How does it differ from the villages?
Well, this is kind of a two-part question, so I'm going to answer the first one. So what resilience factors are present in our community? Really just anything that gives you a connection to other people in a very, very positive light. So sports teams, it gives you a very good connection to maybe a good coach, maybe mentors, your teammates. And it gives you, you know, a good relationship with your community in a way, because people could say, like, oh, that's that basketball player. They did really good or something. It could be like dancing, because it's a way that people really let go. And we have dance groups in our community, and it could be things, since we're going on teens, like student government, really starting on getting your voice heard. It could be things that are very, very in your face, like we're here to help you be resilient, like having counselors or behavioral health. But a lot of the resilience in this area really does come straight from the culture.
Honestly, me growing up around this area, not Bethel entirely, but just in the YK Delta, I honestly can say I've rarely ever heard resilience in the things that we've done or any kind of teachings. I guess they kind of didn't know what the term was, but just everything that we talk about, that's basically what we were taught. Not the word, but just everything, psychologically, mentally, behavioral, any activity-wise. And for me, in our community, is the different type of activities everybody does, or what everyone is involved in, what everyone choose to be involved in. Like if you want to be a part of the YK cookie extravaganza thing, or your child goes joint, you know, is part of a sport, like wrestling this weekend, or just volunteering your time to do things in the community, or even going to church. Those I see what makes everyone in this community have a different resilience in their life. And for me in the villages, it's quite smaller, and personally, I think they kind of lean towards like the tribe. Who is part of that tribe? How are they helping them? How do they help the community? Do they help them? And sometimes it's negative and positive, and sometimes it never is shed positively from the people who work in the tribe. If you have a strong community in the village that have people that want to help and want to build that resilience in their community, you'll see it. And if they don't, you'll notice it. So I think that's the difference we have in our bigger community than just in the villages in general. Just depends, I guess.
I also think there's a lot of... there's a lot more organized opportunities to be a part of the community in Bethel. And it could be just due to sheer size. We're rather large in this area. But, you know, there's some things that I see that, you know, I didn't know the definition of, but then afterwards I was like, that's resilience.
Yeah.
Someone who was hunting and wanted to bring the meat to the elders, being a part of the community, having that relationship, having a purpose, that's resilience. I've seen people do things like shovel their neighbor's porch just to help them. And, you know, this sounds selfish, but it's really not, to make themselves feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Because it does make you feel really good to help people. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, people will hear that and be like, well, you know, they're just doing it for themselves. But no, they're doing it to the connection, for the connection of community, and that makes them feel better. And, you know, everybody has this. They do something helping other people because it helps themselves.
I agree.
And anything that's resilience, I mean, anything like that is resilience. Because if you're really trying to have a positive impact, I'm not saying, like, help people do stupid stuff, things that'll have a positive impact and give you a connection. Sorry, I keep looking directly at you. to the people around them. And I mean, for instance, the people who really help our elders, they're so valued. They're our beloved elders, you know. And, you know, I always notice that, you know, when an elder thanks someone for doing something nice for them, like the people just feel, they look so happy.
I agree about that. Like the elders I've grown up to know, you're right, they are valued, because when I do see someone speak to the children or kind of like try to send a positive message, it just really warms my heart. I really like seeing that because I hardly ever see that anymore. I always remember when I was young, I was being talked to by an elder. That's what my grandma used to always do to me every morning that I'd wake up, say positive things to me. And when I went to bed, say other things positive to me. And that kind of really instilled a lot of, positive knowledge for me as I, you know, as I am getting older and as I teach my children. So I think I'd like to let the elders who are listening know that they are valued.
Mm-hmm. But
and I think that kind of ties into our second question. Why is acknowledging and identifying our personal resilience factors important?
I think really identifying and acknowledging the resilience factors that we have in our lives is important, because sometimes just the knowledge that I am doing this for me, I'm doing this for my peace of mind, and really intentionally having that mindset, you know, you're always going to be, I mean, you should be positively impacted by a resilience factor all the time, right? But it kind of boosts the positivity with awareness. I'm aware that this is what I need. I'm aware why it's like makes me feel good. I'm aware of kind of the impact it has, you know, on my emotions, on my, like, maybe physically, depending on what you choose. And I'm so sorry, but I just want to go back one more and say another resilience factor that we have a lot in this community is the religion, the churches, the spirituality, or it could just be spirituality with the land or anything. This is a very spiritual area. But back to kind of why it's important. And this is kind of what I wanted to say, and that's why I brought up churches, because that was a big, I forgot about that. But it kind of gives you this, it puts you kind of like, I don't know, it's easier to get into this very peaceful, I don't know, kind of like meditating, or I don't know, that feeling.
Well, the people who don't have the ability to open up to people, or who actually don't want to, they use their religion to help them talk to a higher power, whatever their beliefs may be, and it actually does help them cope with things that they are going through. Yeah, I agree.
And they have these like prayers, and you know, in religion, and it's a very, like, I don't know, it's an in-your-face, I'm a resilience factor type of thing. I'm not saying, you know, church is just a resilience factor. But, you know, the belief that you are loved, the belief that things will be okay, the belief that you are being heard by someone so powerful, that's resilience. And, you know, I'm not saying that religion is only a resilience factor and nothing else, but I'm saying that, you know, it's a very in-your-face resilience factor, because I'm being heard, I'm loved, things are going to be okay, and I can make it, are kind of a lot of the things that, you know, I think about when I think of church. I don't know if you guys feel the same, but, and that's why I kind of brought it up. So it's so, like, it's an acknowledgement. You know, this is a resilience factor because, you know, I acknowledge I'm loved. And by who? And, yeah, so I think it's because of that. Like, it really increases your belief, and it increases the impact on yourself. I talked a long time, sorry.
It's okay. I don't know. For me, because I grew up going to church and having that structure in a home that way, I think me being always going to church with my parents, my brothers, my sisters, my grandparents, and just having that kind of history with my family, it was just instilled in us. So that was just kind of like our everyday thing. And so whatever we may going through, I always it reminds me of my grandma. Like, anything hard or tough that we're going through, you know, you just cross yourself or, you know, pray. And I think that already makes you resilient, having that family tradition. I don't know. What do you think, Nelson?
I can say the same, that I grew up in a church-going family. And at first, you know, as a young kid, of course, you don't understand a lot of what's being talked about, a lot of times you're just thinking, looking out the window, I want to go play. That I was one of those kids and during the church services. But as I began to grow older and started going through, you know, any type of like emotional difficulties, you know, being homesick because I've been going away from school, from home since I was like 9, I began to understand, you know, some of the sermons or even just exploring some of the Bible verses. And the days, some days, like I guess I remember going back, the days that I would show up when I needed to hear some type of resilience the most is what I would actually hear, you know, a message saying, you're going to be okay, you know, and that, especially in those moments where you're thinking maybe something happened so quick, you're just stuck, you're stuck. And you're thinking, how am I going to get through this? I don't know how I'm going to do this. You know, you hear what you need to hear. And I like to, the most, you know, the most, one of them that stuck out for me was that you'll never be forsaken. You say a higher power is what a lot of people, talk to when they can't, you know, cope or they're too afraid to cope with, or vent to anybody. You know, just hearing that, any type of positive message like you'll never be forsaken is going to be, it boosts your both emotional and psychological health.
Yeah. And yeah, that's all I got to say. Okay. So the next question is, so resilience also is, you know, how you have your support around you. Maybe you have a really, really good relationship to your family. I mean, with your family. Or you have a really close-knit friend group. That is also resilience. So for this, how do you build up your support system? And what sort of support should be there to build your resilience?
For me personally, my support system I built over years, trial and error with the people I thought were my support. But I think now in my life, now I'm at peace with my personal struggles. I have people in the community, agencies and family that support me, and they all know who they are, and I go to them for my support. And you have to find yours. We can't find it for you. You just kind of have to find the ones that are a fit for you and you feel comfortable and able to talk to them about anything that you're going through. And know that they're not going to be there just to be there. They're going to give you good criticism and let you know truthfully, like, if you're doing anything positive or even negative. That way, they kind of keep you in check with reality. And I think that if you have people like at the, you know, at the church and someone of faith, they are there to help support you and cope through things through prayer. And I say that because, you know, because sometimes people go to pastors or priests for a support if they don't have anyone. And it does help because they are looked as someone they can talk to. So those are things that I've done and that helped me and build my support system.
I think your support system really, it depends on the type of person you are. For instance, I'm seen as sometimes in like difficult situations in my personal life as someone who can be a little harsh or someone who can be a little too blunt. If I see you doing something stupid, I'll say, why are you being stupid? You know? But I'm the type of person that super appreciates that being done to me. Mm-hmm. I would rather someone comes up straight to me and says, why are you being stupid? Then, you know, dance around the issue. That's how I personally am. Other people might find me too harsh, might find me a little mean sometimes. But that's because of the person I am. That's what I appreciate. is someone who will just look at me and like tell me straight, like, you're being dumb. You need to change that. Or no, nobody ever says you're being dumb, but like, you know, you're making dumb decisions. You need to stop. But, you know, some people really need more of that conversation and need more for people to feel with them. And I'm not necessarily like that, but I do notice, you know, some people, it's really different. And the thing is, don't surround yourself with only either or. Sometimes you need those people that are blunt and saying, like, stop this behavior. It's not good. And sometimes you need people that'll get on your level and feel with you. But if you have too much of one or the other, like if you have too many of those blunt people that'll be in your face and saying, hey, stop, you're not going to get as much of an emotional outlet. But if you have so many people willing to feel with you, I guess it gives a feeling that you don't need to change any behaviors that might be not good for you, or maybe not good for your family. You don't feel the need to because nobody's telling you. So building up your support system, you really got to know who you are. I'm comfortable having mostly really blunt people around me. And that's because I am one of those people myself. But, you know, five of me might be too much for Nelson, who is very much empathetic and on your level, and I'm here for you. So it really just depends on who you are. You want them to push you to do better, but not push you to do better, you know, not push you so much. Just give you encouragement to help yourself. And that's what I think is a really good part and a resilient, like, in resilience for, you know, how you build your support system.
Well, it is good if anyone's listening. People do like honesty and truthfulness. So if you have someone that comes to you and seeks your advice, be truthful to them. Don't dance around, like Annie Mae says, around the situation. I feel like now, right now in our life, we need to be truthful. Be honest. Say it like it is, because we just have too much. We don't have much time to be, you know, telling someone, oh no, just sit back and don't worry about anything. I know it says not to worry, but however, get up, do what you have to do, take care of your children the best as you can. Do what you need to do every single day, from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed. There's no room for complaining. That's one of my things that I complain myself, but a lot of people do it too much. We need to kind of be like, hey, it's not being done because you're not doing it. And I think we're here to kind of tell people, build that resiliency, whatever, in your own life. Find it and try to strive to be more resilience. And I keep saying that word because I like just how it sounds. We have a caller coming in. Susan?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I like what you said about friends. They're going to tell you, a true friend will tell you what you need to hear. Not what you want to hear, but what you need to hear.
Exactly.
And I really think that that is so important. And I can just think of, you know, mistakes I've made and it being pointed out. Maybe I'd be mad, but then looking back, it's like I needed to hear that.
I do too. I really like when friends tell me just straight on, because if I find out later from someone else, like, why didn't you just tell me?
That's the kind of friends to have, and that's the kind of friend to be. And you guys are doing a good show. You got a lot of listeners, I'm sure.
Oh, great. All Thank you, Susan.
Thank you.
Bye. Good morning.
Thank you. You have a nice morning.
Okay. It's nice to get callers in. I encourage you guys to call and talk about our resilience. And I think we have a really good topic. We have 10 more minutes. So I guess we'll, Annie Mae, go ahead and...
Yeah. So this one's kind of just a feel-good question because, you know, we're just getting into the holidays and it was just Thanksgiving. And I mentioned that before, but, you know, so, you know, it might not be Thanksgiving week and we might, you know, be a little late to the game. But
we're still thankful.
What are the things that you're thankful for in your community and maybe what impact they have on your community?
For me, I'm very thankful, first of all, like everyone else is, for their family. We wouldn't be here without our family, our loved ones. I'm thankful for my job, to have that, to do what I do and to help people. Also to the people who I work with, awesome. I love the just a small group we have. Also, I'm thankful for just my family. I think that's the only thing I'm thankful for right now. And I'm thankful for Annie Mae for bringing me on the talk show.
Thank you. So, for me, as far as the community, well, I'll do personal first. I'm thankful for my youth. I am. I'm thankful for that, definitely.
Oh, I envy that.
You're still young.
I know.
I'm thankful for, of course, my family and my friends, but I'm also thankful for being in this community. I've lived other places, and I will say none of them really stuck like Bethel did. And I'm thankful for my community. We have our problems, but we have such good good points, too.
Well, one of the things that bothers me is when people say, oh, Bethel, I'm like, you know what? I've been here since 2002, and you have to find what you like to do in your community, and you'll like it. And I've always liked Bethel. There's nothing not to like about it. I even like the people at the store. I'm like, hey, I'm going to the store.
As a teen, I heard everybody like, oh, as soon as I graduate, I'm going to get out of here. And I'm just like, well, I don't feel strongly about getting out of here. I'm okay here. So, I'm very thankful for my community. And as far as like the effects that the people in the community have, I'm thankful for the service agencies, of course. We have more in this area than, you know, I mean, not more, but we have so much service agencies in the area. And this is like our hospitals. I mean, it's the people who bring you your water if you're on tank water. They're doing things for us. And, you know, I'm thankful for those. It could be TWC. It could be the hospital. It could be the sewer truck driver because they're doing something that I would never do. Another is that I'm thankful for the people with a heart for the community. And, you know, sometimes people think that, you know, it's just these like Mother Teresa types who just take everybody in. And, well, you know, there's a bunch like that. I mean, there's so many houses, you know, it's in our culture to say, oh, did you eat? You know, that's like such a simple thing, but it makes you feel so much better because, you know, sharing a meal with someone's enjoyable and it offers you a connection. And, you know, it shows that you are cared for. But, you know, the people with a heart for the community, I've seen it in different ways. And some people feel bad about this, but they'll say, well, you know, we have this area has like a bad relationship with anything related to alcohol. Even though we like to say, you know, it's the addiction, not the alcohol itself that's the problem. But, you know, they'll say, well, you know, I can't go out there and be drunk and go to parties because I'll be seen different in the community. And, you know, oftentimes people think of this as a negative thing. But what I like to see in it is, well, the first thing I heard of is that you have a heart for the community because you're worried about what the community or the people in the community will think about you. And that's another way that you could stay resilient. Is the first thing is that you have a heart for the community.
Well, saying that, Annie Mae, one thing I also wanted to say that you brought about the community is we're also very forgiving. We see people in the community that may be in a negative way, but they, you know, bring themselves out there to show that they are changed and they are just, you know, welcoming. And so that's what I like.
Some of the things that I'm thankful for, I mean, it may sound really odd, but it's the challenges that come across me. At first, it's like you're hot-headed, steamed. You're like, why is this happening to me? But in a way, somewhere in the universe, it's someone or something is trying to help you get better yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, you're at that point where you're like, okay, this didn't kill me. I can get through this.
People climb mountains, not deserts.
Yes, exactly. And growing up, my dad, my grandpa would always say, when they'd give us our lectures, they'd say, be thankful for things that happen to you, even if it's not worth being thankful for. And I think, and I didn't understand that. You know, actually, now that I'm a little older, I understand that those moments that challenge you is what's going to build your character, you know, help you build your morals, help you build healthy relationships with not only yourself, but the people around you. Because you always hear the saying, actions speak louder than words. If challenges throw you off your balance and make you upset, no one's not going to want to be around that. But if you can handle that and get through it, not on your own, but also with support, that's what builds your own support system, your family. But that's what I'm thankful for. And some of the resilience factors in my life, real quick, are fish camp, because that's really challenging to me. Because I'm stuck there. I was stuck there with, you know, not only my family, but with, you know, my cousins, my uncles. It's on an island. You have nowhere to go. So you got to quit. So you got to deal with those challenges head on.
Big brother.
But fish camp is definitely one I'm thankful for, because that taught me to be able to cope with living close quarters.
Taught you challenges. All right. Well, I'm just going to, that's kind of what we're done talking about right now, but I'm just going to go over the announcements one more time. If you want more information about resilience or anything on domestic violence and sexual assault, feel free to call TWC. And our 24-hour crisis line is 907-543-3456. Our toll-free is 1-800-478-7799. And our business line is 543-3444. And if you have any questions about the thrift store, it's times that it's open, or how to donate, that is 543-3474. Thank you guys both so much for being on this radio show, and thank you for anybody who's listening, and especially thank you for the people who called in. We love being here and we love having it. So I hope you guys have a really nice day, and this is the end of the Peace Talk radio show.
Thanks for listening to Wellness Wednesdays on KYUK, a show about the health and wellness in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Catch us every Wednesday at 10 a.m.